Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
I don't believe it. You mean that you won £40 just for writing an advertising slogan?
Yes, Jim. You are talking to the winner of the Drexo Write a Slogan competition.
Oh.
Soon the country will be plastered with my winning effort. Listen. For deep, tranquil, dreamless sleep, buy a £2 tin of Drexo.
Oh, Drexo? I've never heard of this stuff. Does a tin really send anybody off to sleep?
Oh, yes, if you hit them hard enough with it.
Bentley, I can't believe that they'd actually hand you £40 for a sloppy, soppy slogan like that. I mean, there must be a mistake. I mean, I know you and your false alarms. I mean, remember the time when you came rushing to the studio shouting out, guess who they've made Prime Minister? Guess who they've made Prime Minister?
Well, it's very easy to confuse the two names.
Bentley, was it likely to be Mr. Max Miller? I mean...
Yes, but...
He's not the type.
Jim, this isn't a false alarm. Nothing can stop me collecting that 40 quid.
No? Well, just let me have a look at that entry form.
There you are.
All entries must be posted before... Yes. All competitors must be British citizens. Yes. You just scrape under the rope there, don't you? All competitors must be under...
Oh, wow. What?
Bentley, how old are you?
Well, you were at my last birthday party. Didn't you count the candles?
The heat drove me back. Thank you. Let me put it to you this way. Are you over 9 years old?
Oh, well, of course I am. Good heavens, I must be nearly 3 times that age. I don't see what all this... Jim, you mean you're not supposed to be over 9 years old?
This competition was for kids. It was a children's competition.
Oh, well... Yeah, well, there's no reason for them to... No, I'm under 9. I mean, how can they find out?
Well, excuse me, Mr. Edwards. Yes. There's a gentleman from Drexo Limited outside. He's asking if we have a Master Richard Bentley.
Yeah, tell the man to wait. Look, Jim, I can still collect it if we act clever.
Yes.
You see him,
yes.
Tell him you're my father, and you'll collect the money for me.
Well, that's dishonest.
Jim, I'll give you a bit of the money.
Bentley, really, do you expect me to perjure myself for a paltry £20?
Well, no, I didn't, I suppose. I thought you'd do it for about £5.
Make it 10.
You're on.
Right.
Now, just collect the money and we'll divvy up later.
I don't.
Look, he's coming.
Okay.
I'll hop it.
I'll be all right.
Excuse me, sir. I am from Drexo Limited. I'm looking for little Richard Bentley.
I'm awfully sorry. The boy's not here at the moment. He's homework bashing. But I'm his doting father. You can trust me to pass it on to the little fellow. I'll... slip it into his soap dish while I'm bathing him.
Ah, well, I'm afraid I can't agree to that, Mr. Bentley.
Mr. Who? Oh, me! Why can't you agree to it?
The rules. You see, I have to present the money to the child personally.
Oh, golly, snooker.
Hello, Daddy. Did I hear a gentleman asking for me?
Bentley. Dickie! Where the dickens did you get those short trousers?
No questions. Just make a note that the lady cellist is now in for 10 quid as well.
Well, sir, this, sir, is Dickie.
Yes, isn't it? You don't mind my saying, sir, he looks older than his father.
Well, all the kids do nowadays. It's from panicking about the 11 plus. You know. Now may I have the £41 note?
Yes, now just a moment. Now let me see. Where did I put it?
Excuse me a minute, Dickie, darling. I'm a little bit worried about it. Hey?
Mother.
Well.
No questions. There's 10 quid in it for you.
Could I have the money now, sir? I don't want to be late for bedtime.
Excuse me a minute, Mr. Bentley.
Yes, Brian?
I was talking to Mr. Bentley.
You were being answered by Mr. Bentley.
What?
Just keep that well-bred voice down and you'll earn yourself 10 quid.
Oh, fine.
Here it is. I've found the money.
Oh, good.
Now, congratulations and good night.
Good night.
He's gone.
We've done it. Look, Jim, £40. I'm rich.
Don't forget our cut.
Oh, yes. And thank you all. Now, here's 10 quid for that lady cellist. Catch, dear.
Oh, she has. By golly, she's clever with that spike, isn't she?
And Junie, dear, £10 for you.
Huh?
Brian, £10 for you.
Lovely.
And Dad, here's your ten.
Thanks, Bentley.
That's all right. I'll buy you up. Wait a minute. Doesn't leave me anything. Here, one of you give me something back.
No, now, Dickie, you're overtired.
Jim, I must have something. I'm the one that won.
Have a nice cup of Drexel.
No, I don't.
Of the Light Brigade, I'm gonna rush into your heart. I'm gonna sing a romantic phrase to capture you and all your ever-loving charms. Don't block the road. Do your tempting lips.
Now, Type presents an occasional feature for picture goers.
Film Parade Fanfare Magazine Time Movie Roundup. First, let's take a look at this week's general releases. For our on-the-spot opinion, here's an interview with a cinema goer we caught coming out of the foyer, still lost in the rich fantasy of Hollywood's make-believe world.
Good evening, sir. And how did you enjoy Bette Davis in Dark Tomorrow?
Oh, it was not bad.
Well, can you tell us what it's about?
Oh, the usual, you know, him and the other man. All of them copped it.
You mean they all died in the end?
Aye, they all died. Especially aye. She gets his letter and stares blindly out the window. Next thing you see, she's walking into the ocean with them lovely voices all singing in the sky.
And the husband?
He goes on the booze, picks up a pistol, bang. A photo falls from his nerveless hand.
How about the other man?
He only had a week to live any road, you see. But he didn't want to tell her, you see. Come Saturday, there he is, sprawled across the piano keys, and you just hear his dog howl.
Yes. And would you say you enjoyed it?
Well, it's better than staying at home and getting the miseries.
Finally, our excerpt from the soundtrack of the new Hollywood success, Moldy. Like Marty and the Rose Tattoo, this film follows the current Hollywood trend for detailing the love life of the physically unattractive people. We bring you now the touching scene in the dance hall where the hero, Fatso McGarrity, meets the heroine, Pie-Faced Crump.
Say, babe, you know something? I ain't never said this to any doll before, but, babe, you're hideous.
I am. You really mean it?
I do mean it, kid. You got the kind of looks that make a guy sick to the stomach.
Oh, you're not just saying that.
Look at me, babe. Don't you find me kind of loathsome?
Yeah. Oh, it might be forward of me to say this, but the minute you came in that door, I said to myself, I don't know who that guy is, but whoever he is, he's a real mess.
Well, you know something, babe? Us repulsive people, we should stick together.
You mean?
I mean that when a guy is lucky enough to meet up with a slob like you, well, I'm asking you to marry me, my face.
Marry you? Oh, it's like some beautiful nightmare.
We'll find a little place where we can live our lives together. Somewhere cheap, but squalid. Huh? Preset.
Yeah.
Oh, doll, you and me. Can you imagine what our life together will be like? Think of it, kid. Let's just think of it for a minute.
Yeah.
So young, you make me feel so spring is sprung, and every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I want to go play hide and seek. I want to go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of cops running across the meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. I are just like a couple of cops running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there is songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so
Drink up, come on, Mr. Glum. Drink up. You know, with that cold of yours, Mr. Glum, you ain't no business to be out.
I know, Ted, I know. It's a real...
Come on.
I'm sorry, Ted. I should have turned my head away. Here, let me put your toupee back on.
You know, that is a bad cold, isn't it?
It's the worst cold I've had, Ted. The worst cold. I can't taste me food, you know. I just can't taste it. It's the first time I've ever enjoyed Mrs. Glum's cooking for years.
You know, whenever did you manage to get a cold like that?
At the sales.
Hey?
Yeah. What an experience. Here. You know my son, Ron?
Hey?
Of course you know Ron. He was the one who sat over there for 2 hours last Saturday night playing the piano.
We ain't got a piano.
That's him. Well, it was on account of him the whole laudable episode happened. I suppose you could say the very beginning was Sunday night. He and Ed was amusing themselves in the front parlour.
Coming here, the one in the window of Harper's in the High Street. It's a sort of reproduction contemporary. It's in bird's eye maple. Modern, but not too. You know what I mean.
now, eh?
It's a double divan with a wardrobe and a kidney dressing table with the loveliest frilling all round it. Oh, I fell in love with it, Ron. Oh, but the problem is, what about the wherewithal?
Perhaps it'll go inside the wardrobe. Money.
£135 they're asking. Oh, way beyond our reach. Oh, but I did so fall in love with that dressing table. So feminine. Mm. Some girls may like a quilted effect, but not me, Ron. Give me a frill.
Right, Owe. Go on, Eff. Just hold a kiss.
No,
we can...
No,
well,
what am I telling you?
Hello, hello, hello. Well, that's what goes on behind the green door, eh? I'm sorry to interrupt, of course, but I must show you this. There's a lovely article about Ron's uncle in the local paper. See, look there. Fire Guts Home.
What did it say?
Home, after 7 years in Dartmoor, comes Charlie Glum, known to his friends as Fire Guts. There to welcome him, well, many of his friends. And one of... Eff, what's come over you? Your eyes are sticking out like chapel hat pegs.
Look, Ron, look, on the opposite page. There's the suite.
Oh, no. Ron, I told you before, if you don't like a toffee, throw it in the fire.
No, Mr. Glum, the bedroom suite.
Eh?
There's a picture of it there in Harper's advertisement.
Well, what bedroom suite?
The one Eff wants, Dad. It's boss-eyed marble.
Bird's eye maple, Ron. Look what it says, Mr. Glum.
What's
look
it say?
Here.
I haven't got my glasses.
Tomorrow, Harper's Grand Annual Sale. This superb bird's eye maple bedroom suite going for only £10. Oh, they've reduced it. Come early. Come early, one only. Oh, if only we had £10.
Well, if that's all that's holding you back, perhaps I can help. I've just earned that amount from a business deal.
A business deal?
Yeah, nothing spectacular. Just a delicate little operation involving a sheet of Tuppenny stamps, a razor blade, and a short-sided philatelist. As a matter of fact, you're welcome to the proceeds.
Oh, Mr. Glum, how can we thank you?
Let me have it back. I'll warn you this, Ed. If that suet is all that much of a snip, there's going to be a heck of a lot of bargain hunters waiting for it, you see.
Yes.
You know, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, that shop will be inundated with people. Inundated. It'll be like cannon her ass after a party political broadcast.
Well, all right, then. We'll get there at 8 o'clock.
Well.
Or 7 o'clock.
Well.
Or 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If necessary, 5 o'clock in the morning.
5 o'clock. Oh, yes. Might as well sleep outside the shop all night.
That's it?
Hey?
Oh, well, then we'll be sure of getting it. Oh, Ron, you're brilliant.
Thanks, Anne.
You don't let on. You just sit there and then suddenly come out with a flash of genius. Oh, Ron.
Thanks, Anne. Dad.
Yes, Ron.
What did I say?
Well, you suggested that you and Eff stop all night together outside Harper's.
Ah.
And if you think for one moment I'd allow that, then, my lad, you're barking up the wrong horse.
Where's the hub?
Where's the hub? Let me say this, Eff. If I'd asked my father to let me stay out all night with a young woman, he'd sloshed me with his belt. That's what he did.
All I can say... Dad, all I can say is you must have had a rotten father.
What? I had a jolly sight better father than what you've got.
Yeah. Well, then, we've got to miss the bedroom suite. Oh,
Ron. Dear, here we go. The waterworks. No. Look, hey, look, all right.
Well,
if you'll shut up, me and Mrs. Glum will go with you. That'll stop all the talk. Anyway, now let's think. Ron, we want a thermos of hot soup. We want all the blankets in the house. We want all the mufflers. We want your mother's overcoat. We want my overcoat. Your overcoat. You got that?
Yes, Dad.
Now, then the next problem is, what are the rest of you going to cover yourselves up with?
Oh, strike me
rotten. You mean, Mr. Glum, you all actually kept down the whole night right outside Harper's in the High Street?
Yeah. Yes, the four of us on the pavement. Oh. We arrived outside about a quarter of an hour before midnight. The streets was deserted by then. There was a steady drizzle falling. I will have another rum, thank you. Put a drop of pep in it. We spread ourselves on the pavement as best we could.
Oh, Ron, you settle down. The sooner we all get to sleep, the quicker the night will pass.
I'm trying to, eh? My apple keeps rolling down the pavement.
Well, leave it, beloved. We're uncomfortable enough without you treading on us every time you go out in the roadway to fetch it.
I'll just fetch it once more, Eth, then I'll tuck it in me balaclava helmet.
Well, step carefully, then. Your father's dozed off.
Right-o, Eth.
Oh! Right on me face, old Ron. Come help me, old fool. Oh, it's freezing here. Here, kick your mother's head off me foot. Now then, lie down and be quiet.
Dad?
Now what?
Aren't you going to...
Oh, dear. Good night.
Good night, Dad.
Oh, dear.
Good night, Dad.
Good night, Ron.
Good night, Dad.
I've said it already.
Oh, yeah. Night, Dad.
Good night, Ron.
Oh, dear.
Now what? Really, Ron?
Dad,
hey.
God bless Daddy. God bless Mum. God bless Eth. God bless Auntie B and Uncle Fred. God bless Auntie B and Uncle Fred's Lil. God bless Auntie Bessie and Sid and Marge and Ted and the baby. God bless.
This here sounds like a bit of an experience, Mr. Glum, you must have been there.
Put another drop of rum in there.
Yeah. Sure.
What would be the time then? Oh, about 12:10, I should say.
Late, eh?
12:30, the rain stopped.
Oh, that's a bit of luck.
Yeah. 20:01, a light snow started to fall. 1:15, we were all of us still awake.
God bless second cousin Ernie. God bless the lady next door. God bless me. There. Night, Dad.
Night, Ron.
Night, Ed.
Good night, Ron.
Night, Ed.
Good night, Mr. Glum.
Night, Ed.
Night, Mrs. Glum. Good night, Mrs. Glum. Good night, Mrs. Glum.
You won't get no answer from her. She took 3 of them pills what the vet gave Uncle Fred when his donkey was bad. Charlie, good night.
Yeah.
What?
I can't get to sleep.
We'll try.
Right, eh? Yeah.
What?
I've tried. I still can't get to sleep.
Well, what can I do about it?
Tell me a story. Please, Ed.
Oh, all right, then. Well, listen. Well, once upon a time, there was a king called King Arthur, and he was very noble, and he went round fighting everybody. Well, there was a wizard, see, called Merlin.
Merlin?
Wait, Mr. Glum. Yes. Well, this Merlin, he said there was a sword stuck in a stone. And he said whoever pulled this sword out, it would make him so he could win any battle of sword fighting. So, King Arthur goes to this sword in the stone and he pulls it. But it won't come out. So, you know what he does? Oh, he's asleep. Bless him.
Well, don't settle yourself, Ed. How did he get the ruddy thing out?
So what time was his start end then, eh?
Oh, they're getting on for three. Oh. We'd been lying on that cold pavement outside Harper's for, well, what seemed like a maternity. I'll have another drop of rum in that. Well, I'll gloss over much of the remaining part of that night. The incident with the two drunks, one of whom was unwell. the horrible business with the stray dog. the nerve-shattering experience when the water cart come round. Suffice it to say that it was 7:15 when I finally closed my pain-racked eyes. Oh. At 7:10.
Mr. Plum, wake up. It's light.
I'm frozen.
Well, come on. We better start forming the queue.
Help me up. I've gone rigid. Somebody help the old one up.
Come on, Dad.
Oh, dear me, Ma. Feels like a railway waiting room floor.
What about Mrs. Glum?
Leave her lay for a bit. Just shove her further into the gutter so she's only convenient to passers-by. I can't feel my extremities.
Look, Jeff, there it is in the window. Now it's light, we can see it for the first time.
Oh, our suite. Our bedroom to be.
Your dressing table.
My... Oh.
What's the matter?
Oh.
What are you saying that for?
It's green.
Well, what difference does that make?
Oh, well, don't be silly, Mr. Glum. I couldn't have a green dressing table.
What do you mean? What do you mean you couldn't have a... I've been lying there on the grass,
on the
pavement. I'm frozen.
No, not green. Oh, well, come on. Home we go.
No, home. You don't mean to... Oh, no, you can't. I've been lying there.
You mean that's you all lying there on the pavement all for nothing?
For nothing, Ted, for nothing. Just because she hadn't noticed it was green. Oh, dear. Ah, can any person be so inconsiderate and forgetful?
Makes you think, doesn't
it? Put another drop of rum in that.
Yeah, look here, how did Mrs. Glum come through the ordeal?
Eh?
Mrs. Glum.
Oh, Lord, Lummy. I forgot all about her. She's still there. Oh, dear, quick, let me a wheelbarrow.
Harriet Pinneris and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton in the keynotes. Brian Matthew was the announcer, Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...